Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Monday, August the 15th. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany. Coming up on the program, partial results from the general elections in Zambia put incumbent President Edgar Lungu in the lead. We hear from our correspondent.
The ruling Patriotic Front candidate Edgar Chagwa Lungu is leading with more than 900,000 votes, and his closest rival Hakainde Hichilema is tallying behind with about 844,000 votes.
The Nigerian Islamist group Boko Haram has released a new video of some of the schoolgirls kidnapped from Chibok.
Well, what we can see in the video is about 40 of the girls, and one of them, you can see her carrying a baby, and this might be yet another sign that those schoolgirls were sexually abused and forced into marriage.
And renewed fighting flares up in the South Sudanese capital Juba just days after the United Nations Security Council approved a 4,000-strong protection force. Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
Partial results from Zambia's presidential and parliamentary elections have put incumbent President Edgar Lungu in the lead. Lungu has polled nearly 900,000 of the vote, and opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema is trailing by approximately 840,000 votes. Before we hear from our correspondent in Lusaka, let's first hear what Michael Gale, a member of the European Union Observer Mission, had to say about the conduct of the polls.
We have noted some, cumbersome procedures which delayed the processing of an individual voter, which led to the fact that in most polling stations at 6 o'clock there were people still waiting and were then allowed to vote, yes, but it couldn't be managed within the given 12 hours. Moreover, when it is about the electoral process, we have regrettably noted a huge bias amongst the state media, so there was by no means any level playing field for the non-governing parties who were either not or negatively assessed in the state media.
Now, Hakainde Hichilema on Sunday claimed that the elections have been rigged. My colleague Abakal Jalo spoke to DW's correspondent in Lusaka, Kathy Sikombi, on the rigging claims by the opposition leader.
The mood in the country is quite tense as people have been waiting anxiously, and it looks like everywhere you go, in churches, you know, on the streets, in shops, everyone is talking about the elections. Coming to the main opposition political party, yesterday I was actually in a meeting where their legal counsel burst out, you know, in the results center and told off the electoral commission that they were trying to rig elections. And this comes from the fact that an official from the ruling Patriotic Front was allegedly found in the results center, in the ICT center, with an ID that he was given by one member of staff at the Electoral Commission of Zambia. And the opposition political party did complain, but by yesterday they were saying that the Electoral Commission of Zambia has not done anything, and they are thus demanding that three members of staff from the Electoral Commission, including the director Priscilla Isaacs and two others, step down from their positions for colluding with the PF to rig the elections.
And what has been the reaction from the Electoral Commission?
The Electoral Commission seems to be in a very, very tight position. They seem to be a lot under pressure, and they've been saying that they've taken all the concerns from the opposition and they are investigating.
So let's go now to the results of these elections. What is the current status on Thursday evening at the Tally Center?
The situation as of Sunday evening is that the ruling Patriotic Front candidate Edgar Chagwa Lungu is leading with more than 900,000 votes, and his closest rival Hakainde Hichilema is tallying behind with about 844,000 votes. But so far at parliamentary level, I must mention that the Patriotic Front has won 93 seats out of the 156, and the UPND has won 44 seats.
Kathy Sikombi in Lusaka.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
The Nigerian Islamist group Boko Haram has released a new video that purports to show some of the schoolgirls kidnapped from the town of Chibok more than 2 years ago. In the video posted on YouTube on Sunday, 40 of the 276 girls are seen dressed in full veil. The kidnapping of the schoolgirls in April 2014 brought global attention to conflict in northeastern Nigeria. Our correspondent in Nigeria, Adrian Krish, tells us what could have happened to the rest of the girls.
Well, what we can see in the video is about 40 of the girls, and one of them in the background, you can see her carrying a baby. And this is, might be yet another sign that those schoolgirls were sexually abused and forced into marriage by their captors. Remember, 3 months ago, the first Chibok girl managed to run away, and she was also carrying a baby, and she was also married to an alleged Boko Haram member. Now, in this new video, we see a leader of the group talking in Hausa, the local language, and it appears that he is looking for kind of sympathy from the audience for the Chibok girls. He says some of them are crippled, some are terribly sick, and to me it seems as if he's trying to turn around the facts about who is responsible for their miserable situation. He says some of the girls died as a result of aerial bombardment by the Nigerian military. Now, Nigeria's military started a major crackdown on the groups a month ago, and this video seems to be a strategic move to portray the military offensive as a failure.
Does that mean that the government is going to respond to this, that the government is going to stop its aerial bombardment?
I doubt. President Muhammadu Buhari has been saying a couple of times he is open for negotiations with Boko Haram when it comes to the release of the Chibok girls. But in this video, the leader is demanding the release of several of their commanders who are being held in military captivity in various parts of the country. And a lot of experts believe that this demand for a deal by Boko Haram is a sign of weakness. Remember, the group keeps losing territories in the northeast of the country. Nigeria's military managed to gain ground there, and since then they have started to change their strategy again. They are back to what they used to do in the very beginning, back to those suicide attacks which they carry out in various parts in the north of the country, but also in Cameroon and other neighboring countries.
You said that the group has lost most of its territories, and even the government claims that Boko Haram has been technically defeated. But why has it failed so far to free these schoolgirls?
Well, you have to admit it's a very difficult terrain where they are operating. The northeast of Nigeria is not a very populated part of the country. And President Muhammadu Buhari has been repeatedly saying that he does not want anybody to be killed in a possible military operation. But now, of course, with the release of this video, the pressure is going up. 3 months after the first girl was freed, you remember Amina, the one I was mentioning earlier, there's still no results. Activists were hoping back then that she could give vital information to the security forces who could then trace down the other girls, possibly free them. But since then, nothing really happened.
DW's Adrian Krish. Renewed fighting flared up in the South Sudanese capital Juba on Sunday. This comes just days after the United Nations Security Council approved a 4,000-strong protection force for the country. The force, which will come from neighboring countries, is mandated to stop any attacks against civilians and protect key facilities in Juba. South Sudan said on Sunday it would consider the UN's decision to authorize sending extra troops to the country following an eruption of fierce fighting, softening its stance after initially rejecting the initiative. For more, here's James Shimanyula from Nairobi.
The fighting broke out around a military barracks near President Kiir's residence in Juba. Archbishop Paulino Locudo, who also said to have heard gunshots and artillery fire, urges both sides to exercise restraints.
What has happened on the ground, it is developing into tribalism. This must be diffused. We need reconciliation between the leaders. Violence is not an acceptable way. We are concerned about the insecurity at this moment. There is killing and there is looting of a property. The army must be controlled. We urge soldiers to exercise restraint and responsibility for their brothers and sisters.
On Friday, the United Nations Security Council approved a 4,000-strong regional protection force in response to violence and instability that have engulfed the country over the past 3 years. The regional protection force, according to the United Nations, will be under the command of the UN mission in South Sudan known as UNMISS. UNMISS, which has been in South Sudan since 2011, comprises more than 16,000 troops. David Pressman is the United States ambassador to the UN.
This resolution sets out three priorities for the 4,000-strong regional protection force. First, the force will facilitate safe and free movement in the capital. Second, it will protect key facilities essential to the well-being of the people of Juba. And third, it will have the authority to prevent attacks against civilians, United Nations, and humanitarian actors.
Juba has, however, rejected the deployment of the 4,000 UN protection forces. South Sudanese Minister for Parliamentary Affairs, Michael Makuei, explains why.
Seriously undermines the sovereignty of the Republic of South Sudan as a UN member state. We strongly object. We wanted the protection force. The protection force should have been an independent body, not under UNMISS.
The council has, however, threatened to impose arms embargo if the South Sudanese government does not allow the deployment of the new force or obstructs the work of UNMISS.
James Shimanyula reporting. In South Africa, nearly 90 top leaders from the ruling African National Congress, ANC party, met behind closed doors near Pretoria on Sunday to analyze the reasons for the party's dismal performance in the recent local government elections. The ANC, which has been the dominant political party since 1994, admitted that its poor performances were due to failure to adhere to the core values of the apartheid liberation movement. Sobri Govinda has more.
Breaking fresh grounds to increase its support base is now the new priority for the ruling African National Congress, or ANC. The former liberation movement's overall support dropped sharply from 60 to 54% since the last local government elections in 2011. In the recent local government elections, the ANC lost the capital city of Pretoria and the legislative capital of Cape Town to the Opposition Democratic Alliance. The ANC has also been forced into coalition talks with other parties in the hope of retaining control of Johannesburg and Nelson Mandela Bay. This significant decline in support has been registered in all the provinces of the country. The Secretary General of the ANC, Gwede Mantashe, who addressed the media, said the national leaders had held a vigorous and honest introspection of its lack of support during the local government elections.
Although these were local government elections, some national issues dominated the public discourse. The ANC resolved to mandate the government mechanisms that would monitor service delivery across all spheres and ensure accountability of all deployees for action or inaction in the execution of assigned responsibility.
The loss of support is a serious setback for the ANC. Mantashe said that his party would carry out a number of programs to improve the lives of the people, especially the poor and marginalized.
The ANC will visit all provinces, meet with ANC and alliance structures, different sectors and communities to deal with the concerns of the people.
Reacting to the statement, political analyst Professor Tiniko Maluleko said the ANC must tackle the crucial issue of leadership, as Jacob Zuma was seen as the main reason for the ANC's deteriorating support among the people.
But if it approaches even the problems it faces in terms of the factions, you know, that are there in the ANC around personalities, even around issues of personal gain or group gain, then it will not come back.
The ANC also said it's now committed to eradicating corruption and tackling the major problems affecting the country. But whether this liberation movement, turned political party after 1994, will be able to convince South Africans about its new course will be another matter altogether.
Sobri Govinda reporting.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to Learning by Ear. This is the 10th episode of our radio drama series, The Promised Land, a story of African migration to Europe. We are looking at the story of legal and illegal migration by Africans to what is seen as the Promised Land, Europe. Linda has been working illegally as a waitress in a European nightclub, a job her friend Florence got her into. Back home in Africa, Chivasi hadn't heard from Linda in a long time and was starting to worry. So he went to her parents' house to ask if everything was all right. While he was there, he discovered that Linda's parents were having financial difficulties. They gave him Florence's number to try to reach Linda, but when he called, Florence answered him rudely, told him he should forget about his fiancée, and hung up. It was a wake-up call for Linda, though. She's decided she should take a break and go home for a holiday. Meanwhile, our friends Farahani and Sule in the north of Africa had a big argument about whether to flee their country, which is troubled by political violence. Farahani has decided to make another attempt to get to Europe, leaving behind his best friend Sule. Today's episode, Two Faces of Migration, opens at the Maraga family home, where Linda has suddenly arrived from Europe for a surprise visit. Her parents are surprised by how much their daughter has changed. She seems like another person altogether. Let's listen as they chat over supper.
Ah, these bloodthirsty mosquitoes.
Oh, I still can't believe my eyes. Linda, you're really here.
When I opened the door and saw you standing there with all your luggage, I thought I must be dreaming. This is the best surprise of my life.
Dad, Mom, do you mind if I close the windows?
No.
The mosquitoes are getting in.
Of course, do whatever you like. This is your home, Linda. But tell us more about Europe. Mm-hmm. Your studies, your job, your friends. You look so different.
Yes, you must be earning a lot of money. You're wearing such nice clothes and shoes. New mobile phone, new laptop, new wristwatch.
New Linda. That's the best way to put it. A new Linda. So tell us, what have you been doing to afford all this?
Well, I'm in the service industry, and in Europe that pays well. Listen, I'm sorry, but if you don't mind, I'd like to go out and meet my friends.
No, of course.
Of course.
I realize things must seem rather different at home these days, Linda. We lost our jobs. They've disconnected the electricity supply because we couldn't pay the bill. That's why we're sitting in the dark.
Oh, yeah. I'm really sorry about that. Here's 500 euros. That will be enough for now, won't it?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Linda. Thank you so much.
Linda is behaving like a rich, considerate, generous daughter. But she hasn't really explained to her parents what exactly she's doing to earn money like this. And her parents seem happy not to ask. Later on, Linda joins some of her old friends at a local pub, a place she never used to go before. Among them are Chivasi and Linda's old school friend, Dora.
Oh, it's so good to be back, to see all of you. It's great that you could all come on such short notice.
You can thank Facebook for that.
Yes, that was quite a surprise. Mm-hmm. I thought you must be joking when I saw your status update. Back home for a week. Let's all meet up tonight.
Yeah.
I thought I'd be the first to know if you're planning to come home.
Wow, Linda. You look so, so cool.
Thank you.
I don't know what it is about Europe, but everyone who goes there seems to come back prettier, classier, and healthier.
Yeah. And richer, don't forget.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, what can I say? I have a good life there, and I'm studying a subject I love and earning good money in my part-time job. Ah. In other words, I'm having the time of my life.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Hey, all the drinks and food are on me tonight, so please eat and drink as much as you'd like.
Oh, Linda, wow. I need to come over and join you. Maybe you can help me find a family where I can work as a living au pair or a college that offers exchange programs.
Dora, it's not that simple, you know, with the visa and everything.
But really? You did it!
Yeah!
And I must admit, I never thought that after such a short time you'd be able to come back home, having earned enough money to pay for your ticket. Mm-hmm. That is, unless somebody else paid it for you.
I sense some jealousy here from Chivasi.
Jealousy? Me? No. I have no reason to be jealous, do I? I love Linda, and I would do anything to be with her, even if it meant crossing the ocean.
Ooh, okay.
Really? Would you do that for me?
Of course.
I'd be so happy if you did that. It would be wonderful to be together with you in Europe.
Okay, you two, that's enough.
What?
We came here to party, not to plan our futures. Yeah. Come on, everybody, let's get up and dance.
Hey. The tonight's gonna be a good night.
As Linda and her friends danced the night away, drinking and partying at Linda's expense, back on the North African coast, Farahani has made up his mind. He and a small group of other migrants have paid a human trafficker to take them across to Europe, and they're now being tossed up and down on the stormy Mediterranean Sea. They're all praying that the European border guards won't intercept their boat and send them all back. But a huge surprise is in store for them. The danger this time is much closer than they think. Listen on.
Hey, okay. I've done my best to avoid all the border guards. We've crossed into European waters, and we're only a few kilometers from the shore. I can't go any further than this.
What?
From here on, it's up to you. You can see the coastline.
No.
Over there. In the distance, all you need to do now is swim until you reach the shore.
No.
Until they find you in the water.
No. You cannot do that.
Yeah, you can't do this.
Yes.
We paid you for the full trip.
Yes.
Not to take us halfway.
Get a move on. There is no time to waste. If they catch us here, we'll all be deported. Remember, don't tell them where you've come from unless your country is a war zone. I have to go back. Decide for yourself. Jump in the water or come back to Africa with me.
In the water.
God be with me.
Africa never.
Farahani finds himself struggling against high waves and a current that's trying to sweep him back out to sea. All around him, he can hear the cries of his fellow migrants as they fight for their lives in the water. All he can think of is that he has to keep swimming until he reaches the promised land. Farahani keeps going for about 2 hours, longer than he ever thought possible. Yet the shore seems as far away as ever. Just as his strength is finally at an end, he hears a motorboat coming closer and a voice with a European accent calling out.
Grab the life jacket! Hey! Grab the life jacket!
Okay, pull him up. Come on, pull him up on deck.
Who are you?
We are officers of Frontex, the agency in charge of securing the European border. You have crossed into our waters illegally. Who are you? And where do you come from? Are you from Africa, Asia, or the Middle East? You look like an Arab to me. Am I right? Are there more like you in the water?
There are more out there! More in the water! Keep going! Take the boat further out! Quick! No time to lose!
Farahani's dream has finally come true. Wet, cold, hungry, thirsty, and exhausted, he's nonetheless managed to sneak into Europe. But what awaits him there? And what will Linda's visit home mean for her friends and family? Tune in again next time to find out. If you'd like to take part in a discussion about this episode on the different faces of migration in Europe and in Africa, you can do so by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/dw.lbe. Until then, goodbye for now and take care.
And that's all we had for you today. I'm Isaac Mugabe, wishing you a pleasant day. But for more news, you can visit our website, dw.com/Africa.